This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. A federal judge has ordered the Department of Homeland Security to allow clergy access to the Immigration Processing Center in suburban Broadview on Ash Wednesday next week. This ruling is part of an ongoing lawsuit. The judge says clergy should be allowed to administer communion and offer ashes to people who want it. Clergy members and several Catholic sisters filed a lawsuit in November. It alleges that DHS, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and other senior federal officials had unlawfully blocked clergy from providing religious ministry to detainees at the Broadview ICE facility. The lawsuit accuses the federal government of violating the First Amendment. Chicago alderperson Brendan Riley is criticizing longtime Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle in his bid to win her job. My colleague Kristen Schorsch reports Riley is one of the more conservative Democrats on the city council, and he wants to woo voters in the March 17th primary against Preckwinkle.
Cook County government is broken in a number of areas that are making it a lot less affordable to be able to live here.
He blames her for an upgrade to the county's property tax system that is years behind. Property tax bills have gone out late, but Preckwinkle says she is one of several separately elected officials who oversee a complicated tax system, and that the county assessor and treasurer determine property values and mail tax bills, not her. Preckwinkle is a powerful Democrat and is seeking her fifth term as county board president. A new report from the University of Illinois Chicago suggests young people have been having a tough time finding jobs. The school's Great Cities Institute tracked youth joblessness in Chicago, Cook County, the state of Illinois, and the country from 2019 to 2024. Report author Matthew Wilson of UIC talked with our Say More program about those findings. He says their analysis shows Cook County ranks among the worst large counties in the country for joblessness among Black young adults.
We compare Cook County to 47 other large counties that have good data. And particularly for Black 20 to 24 year olds, there's a lot of very frightening numbers. The jobless rate is the sixth highest for Black 20 to 24 year olds. And that disconnection, both not working and not in school, is third highest.
The report argues youth unemployment is a persistent problem in the U.S. labor market. And the Cubs want to build upon the team's successful season last year. The Cubbies advanced to the postseason for the first time in 4 years and came within a game of the National League Championship Series. Manager Craig Counsell says he understands it's never too early to put good habits into practice.
It's a bit ceremonial, obviously. Nothing crazy is happening today, but it's fun to get at least the first group of pitchers and catchers started, have a good day, and build a foundation for a great season.
Key offseason acquisitions by the Cubs include signing free agent third baseman Alex Bregman and trading for starting pitcher Edward Cabrera. Opening day is March 26th. You're listening to The Rundown. More Black-owned restaurants are opening in Chicago, and with it comes more dining options. Chicago Black Restaurant Week highlights this growth, featuring specials at nearly 40 Black-owned eateries. The culinary celebration is running until February 22nd, and it makes it a good way to celebrate Black-owned businesses and Valentine's Day. Sun-Times arts and culture reporter Erica Thompson talked about it with my colleague Claire Lane.
What are restaurants offering up when you dine with them during this period of time?
Yeah, you can get a really nice deal at a fixed price that often includes an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert.
And tell us a little bit about some of the places that are participating all over the city, really.
Yeah, it's really cool because you get to learn about businesses in your community that you may not have realized are Black-owned. And there's so much variety. Like, there are barbecue joints, there are vegan places, there are fine dining places. I like a place called Soul Prime in Lincoln Park. The TikTok reviewer Keith Lee went there and gave them a huge boost. Also, I haven't tried this, but speaking of Valentine's Day, Stussy's Diner in Bridgeport, it's like super pink in there, and it's retro, and I think that could be really cute for the holiday.
Or sometimes you live in a neighborhood and you might not know that there is a Jamaican restaurant or an Ethiopian restaurant, and this is a way for you to sort of become more acquainted with stuff that might be right under your nose.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a good opportunity to try foods from different cultures that you might not be familiar with.
And you profile the owners of a new steakhouse that's participating for the first time. Tell us a little bit about St. Patrick's Steakhouse in Dalton.
Yeah, so it's a really impressive space. It's multiple levels. They have a wine and spirit shop on the first floor. They have a rooftop bar, and then they have a two-floor dining area. And so it's really bringing fine dining to the area where people don't have to drive all the way downtown if they want to get that type of cuisine.
Or fly in from the Vatican. Dalton, the home of, as we should know, the Pope Leo XIV. But I guess following up with these people, the owners of St. Patrick's, it wasn't an easy path for them to get this restaurant off the ground. What was it like?
Yeah, so it used to be the site of an animal hospital, so they actually had to build this from the ground up, which is a feat in and of itself. But then they had a back and forth with the former mayor over getting liquor licenses. It was a whole thing that delayed the opening for months, but a judge eventually ordered the former mayor to grant them the liquor licenses.
So they are passionate about their cow. A Chicago Black Restaurant Week has been running for 10 years, over 10 years. How would you say that it's changed?
Yeah, so there's a lot more variety that you're seeing now since when it started. And then it's becoming really popular. People are traveling in from out of town to participate in this. And then also schools are taking field trips to these restaurants during Black History Month.
And I guess why do you think it's so important to spotlight Black-owned businesses in this moment?
Well, like all businesses, they're struggling right now. Costs are up for supplies, and the owners, you know, they have their own personal hardships that they're dealing with. So it really helps give them a boost. And we've heard from the organizer that sometimes these restaurants sell out in the first couple days of Chicago Black Restaurant Week.
Weather, great. Sunny skies, mild today, a high in the mid-50s, and then clear and cold tonight, a low in the mid-30s. And the weekend, partly sunny Saturday with a high of 50 and upper 50s on Sunday with sunny skies. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thanks for listening.